Hey everybody, welcome back to THC. My name is Kimmy, and every week I smoke and tell you a true crime story. So if that is something that you're into, then it would be so cool if you would subscribe and then tell all of your friends about this podcast. And then even like follow me on social media at Truly High Crime. And it would be so much cooler too if you like left a review for me on Apple Podcasts or something like that. Like that would help me out a lot and I would really appreciate it. I hope everybody's doing well in this time that we're living in. We have a new president, which is cool, I guess, if that's how we're going to try to look at things. But other than that, I mean, I guess I hope that some people are getting vaccinated. I hope that people are, you know, still being safe out there, not going out, and remembering that we're still living in a panorama. Also, I want to start having guests come on the show. So if you or somebody that you know has like a connection to a case and you want to talk about it, or there's a case that you are just obsessed with talking about and figuring it out, or just being like, this is so fucking crazy, let's talk about it, please hit me up. You can message me on social media at Truly High Crime, or you can send me a voice message on anchor.fm/Truly High Crime. Or you can email me at trulyhighcrime@gmail.com. So please hit me up. I want to talk to you. I want to hang out with you. It would be so much fun. And I want to have guests on the show. So let's do this. Once again, today we are talking about a missing person. I get lost in this case probably once a year because it is incredibly heartbreaking. So I decided that I'm going to break your hearts with me. It's literally so fucking crazy that people can just like disappear without a trace, and like 1 minute they're here and then another they're gone and they're never seen again. It literally baffles me, and sometimes I think people like vanish by choice, and sometimes most of the time I think it's an unfortunate situation like human trafficking or something, but sometimes I literally have no fucking idea, which is just like this time. Today we are talking about a very confusing, very unanswered case of someone disappearing literally into thin air. So buckle up and let's talk about the disappearance of Brandon Swanson. Brandon Swanson was born on January 30th, 1989, so he was born the same year as Taylor Swift. There's a whole album named after the year he was born, which is so cool. He was born in Marshall, Minnesota. Marshall is this little city. It's one of those super duper white towns where like all the other white people are always like, oh my gosh, what a great place to raise a family. Like, I know you could think of a couple towns off the top of your head. He had this cute little life too, like his parents were still together. He had a younger sister who he would like bicker with because he was, you know, her older brother. And he was also really, really smart. He went to Marshall Senior High School and he was super duper into science. He was smart, he was hardworking, he was dedicated. His mom said that he was always willing to help others. And after he went missing, she said it was so heartwarming that everybody had a story about how much they like liked Brandon and how much they respected him. She said that was like the most heartwarming part, that they knew he was a good person, but that everybody else knew he was a good person too. And she said he loved his family so much. So after high school, he went to the Minnesota West Community College, which was like 40 to like 45 minutes away from where he was living at the time. He studied like wind energy and turbines, which is like fucking dope, hell yeah. And he took school like very seriously. And he decided that once his first year was up, he was going to transfer to Iowa Western Community College, which was about 4.5 hours away from where he was living at home. So this was kind of an odd decision to me. Like, it just kind of stood out because he's still moving to a community college. So he's moving 4 hours away for a community college. It's not like it's like a renowned school or something. But I did look it up, and the school that he was moving to does have a bunch of programs in like sustainable energy. And they have like this whole wind turbine technician program. So maybe it was like really, really good and like known for that. I honestly don't know, but good for him. Like setting goals for himself and like growing up and moving out. Like that's a really cool time in life. But before that could even happen, he finished his first year at Minnesota West in May of 2008. And so he was celebrating. He had some plans with some friends that night. So he went to his friend's house in Lind, which was about 11 minutes southwest from where he lived in Marshall. He got there around 6 o'clock on May 13th, 2008. If you are bad at directions, then I will do my best to make this as clear and as easy to follow as possible, because we kind of have to talk about it a lot because it, like, you know, is evidence. I'm gonna try my best to just like kind of repeat myself and be repetitive to make the directions make sense to you. But there will also be a picture on the Truly High Crime Instagram, so just look there too while you're listening. Okay, thank you. So, Lind is 11 minutes southwest from where he lived in Marshall. This first party that he went to was just a little, like, small gathering of his buddies. Like, if it were 2020 or 2021, we would say he was just with his pod. There was 5 to 6 people there, so it was, like, his close friends. And, of course, they were drinking because it is college. But his friend said that they thought that he only had one drink. They were pretty sure he only had one drink, and when he left, he didn't, like, come across as drunk in any way. Hopefully, they were being honest in saying that. He left this party around 10, and then he was actually going to another party. So the next party was in Canby, which is the town where he went to college, and it was about a 45-minute drive from where he was in Lind. It's where he went to school. It's where his school was, and it was northwest of where he lived in Marshall. So Lind is... This is so confusing. I'm trying my best. Lind is south, like 11 minutes from where he lives, and then Canby is northwest, like 45 minutes from where he lives, okay? So now he's in Canby at this slightly bigger party. Like, it wasn't a huge banger, but there was more people there. And the friends that were there said that he had at least one shot of whiskey. But they said also that he didn't seem drunk or out of it or anything like that, that he seemed like he was completely sober. And I just want to say to my friends and to my listeners alike that, one, you should absolutely never drive drunk. Two, you should never let your friends drive drunk. And three, if you are drunk, you probably can't judge how drunk someone else is or whether or not it was safe for them to, like, get in the car and drive. Like, you probably don't have the right judgment for that. And four, if your friend goes missing after you might have accidentally let them drive home drunk, you won't get in trouble for admitting that. You should just fucking be honest and help them figure out how to find your fucking friend. I don't know if his friends were being honest. I really, 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 really hope they were. I'm not trying to, like, throw shade at them or, like, speculate that they weren't or anything like that, because I have no idea. Like, I'm just gonna tell myself that they were because it would help me sleep at night, but... Just, if you're ever in this situation, if something ever happens, then just be honest so that we can figure, like, not we, because I won't be investigating it, so that it can be figured out, you know? Anyway, Brandon left this party to go home between 12 and 12:30, and he knew this drive really, really well because it was his drive to school. He was in Canby, where his school was. So he's like, yeah, I do this every day. There was one highway, and it was literally a straight shot. I think it was... I'm not even gonna say. I was just gonna say I think it was Highway 66, but I think that I was just in my head, like, thinking Route 66 because of where my brain is. But anyway, it was a straight shot on the highway. He did it all the time, but for some reason, he took a different route. Instead of taking a highway, he took the back roads. So that right there tells me that maybe he was drinking more. He could have just been trying to, like, avoid the underage because he was 19. So he was probably just trying to be extra safe. Like, he knew he wasn't drunk, but he knew he had a shot of whiskey, so it would show up and then he would get an underage. So he could have just been trying to be super careful and actually wasn't drunk. He shouldn't have been driving, even if he only had that one shot of whiskey, depending on, like, when he had it, you know. But I think the reason that he decided to go home on the back roads is because there's less of a chance of being caught when you're drunk or even buzzed. And, like, when you're like that, you're going to try to rationalize the decision you're about to make. So, like, he was like, I mean, it's fine if I drive because I'm just going to take the back roads. There won't be anybody. I'm not going to hurt anybody. And, like, people did this in the town that I grew up in. All the time. I heard it all the time. It's so gross. I don't get it. You guys shouldn't do that. But anyway, to clarify, nobody actually knows if Brandon was drunk. And even if he was, none of this obviously deserved to happen at all. I need coffee, man. So the route that he took was kind of confusing and it was not what he was used to. It was like more of a dirt and gravel roads and dark. And it was just like, you know, not the drive he knew, not what he was prepared for, not what he was used to. So he ended up getting his Chevy Lumina stuck in a ditch around 1:15 a.m. Now, he must have been going pretty slow because he wasn't injured and there was, like, nothing wrong with the car or anything. And the way that the car was stuck, like, two of the wheels were, like, up off the ground. So, like, he couldn't fix it by himself. He was stuck and, like, he needed somebody to help him or just, like, come take him home, you know? So he called a few of his friends and, like, you know, he was trying to get them to come. I keep saying, you know, I'm trying to be very relatable today and I don't know why, but I'm going to try to stop that. I'm going to, like, smack myself every time I do it. Anyway, oh, Albert's crying at the door again. Okay, Albert has entered the chat. He's sitting under my chair. I'm trying a different sitting technique today. Usually I, like, put pillows on the toilet and I sit on the toilet. But today I brought a chair into my tiny bathroom. And it's more comfortable, but I'm very cramped. I know you care a lot. So, anyway, as I was saying, Brandon called a couple of his friends to, like, ask them, you know, can you come help me? My car is stuck, or can you just come pick me up, please? But none of them fucking answered. What the hell, guys? Like, that's kind of shitty. At least answer and say you can't go because you're drunk. Like, that's just rude. So, he waited a long time to call his parents. Like, I'm guessing he was nervous. Like, that would be kind of, you know, it's 2 a.m. I'm drunk a little. Can you come help me, Mom? So at 1:54 a.m., he did. He called his parents and he was like, I'm stuck, but I'm fine. Can you just come help me? I'm on this gravel road. I'm near a golf course and I'm near Lind, which was only like 10 to 15 minutes from where they were living in Marshall. So his parents were like, yeah, we'll come get you, whatever. But this doesn't sound right to me. He says that he's in Lind, but the first party he went to was in Lind, and the second was like 45 minutes northwest in Canby. And Marshall, where they lived, is kind of like between the two. So if he was in Canby, he wouldn't go through Lind to get home. So we will be discussing this, don't you worry, but I just wanted you to pay attention to it, and like also that's why like the geography of all of this matters, and not trying to just keep plugging myself, but you should just go look on Instagram because it will make a lot more sense if you can like see what I'm talking about. His parents are like, yeah, you got it, we're on our way, we'll come get you, whatever. Like, it's innocent enough, these are good parents. I feel like one time I hit a deer and my mom was like asleep and she had a long night and I was like, I really just need you to come give me a ride. I was leaving work. I was like, I need you to just give me a ride back to work and then I'm gonna go out, and we went out. But my mom still came, and like, that's just, it's good parent. You know, that's just a nice thing to do. And he stayed on the phone with his dad the whole time. So it sounds like they had this cute, good relationship, which it's just crazy to me that people get along with their dads, like, all the time. Crazy. Brandon's parents got to where Brandon said that he was, but there was no car, and there was no Brandon. They couldn't see him, but Brandon was like, what the hell? I'm here. Why can't you see me? So they start flashing the lights of their car, and they're like, can you see me? And he was like, no, I don't see you. And then he said he was flashing the lights of his car, and like they could hear on the phone that he was doing that, but they couldn't see him. And remember, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. It's pitch black outside, and it's a clear night. So like, the lights would be seen from a good distance away because it's dark. So even if they weren't that close, you'd think they'd be able to see each other. But they just couldn't. They literally just could not see each other. And everybody was getting, like, really frustrated with each other. As you could imagine, there was a lot of, like, you know, back and forth arguing. Because I'm sure Brandon was like, why can't you see me? Like, I'm here. I'm exactly where I guided you to. I'm sure you're just in the wrong place. Like, what the hell is going on? But his dad was, like, super duper confident that he was in the right place. So it was just this, like, back and forth, man. And they were getting frustrated with each other, and they, like, were hanging up. Brandon was, like, hanging up on his parents. And his mom was like, I called back and I apologized, which is so sweet. Like, I love that woman. He kept, like, explaining where he was and saying that he was walking along a fence line and he kept running into a fence and that he could hear running water, and it looked like he was surrounded by farms or, like, maybe a golf course or something like that. He was like, you know what, though? You guys can't find me. I'm just gonna walk to my friend's house in Lind. I can see the city lights, so I'm just gonna follow them and I'm gonna go to Lind and you can just come pick me up. Albert. Scare the shit out of me. Oh my god, he opens and closes the fucking cabinet. Albert, stop it. Okay, Albert is secured in the sink, which is usually where his final resting place is. Hopefully it is this time. Okay, his dad was like, all right, that's fine. Then I will just come pick you up at wherever you tell me. I'm gonna go drop your mom off at home and then I'll be on my way back out to look for you. He's like, cool. After Brandon's dad dropped his mom off at home, he went back out to look for Brandon. And at 2:23, Brandon and his dad started what would be a 47 minute phone call. Brandon tells his dad that he's walking on this gravel road and he's walking away from Marshall towards Lind. And Brandon is like super duper confident in where he is. Like he knows for sure that that's exactly what he's doing. He tells his dad that he's surrounded by grass, farms, maybe a golf course. And he says he's going to cut across the land that he is like on because it's going to be like quicker than following the road. So he's like taking just a little shortcut like across the land, which totally makes sense, but would probably be terrifying at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Like I'm afraid of the dark. I don't know. That would just be scary to be outside. So at this point, while Brandon is like walking across this like open land that he sees, he yells out, "Oh shit," and then goes silent. Now there's a lot of like back and forth. Some things say that the line cut off right after he said "oh shit," but his dad said that he was the one who hung up and then kept calling back, so the line didn't go dead. It was just quiet, and his dad like called out for him a few times and was like hoping that he would like grab his phone, like maybe he just fell and was like looking for his phone, so he was like calling his name out and stuff, but he didn't get a reaction, so he hung up and then he kept calling. But that was the very last time that Brandon Swanson was ever heard from. Brandon's parents ended up looking for him all night, and they were obviously extremely worried, and there was no trace of him. Wherever he said that he thought he was, they couldn't find anything. So at 6:30 in the morning, they tried to report Brandon missing to the police. The key word there is tried, but let's take a smoke break before we jump into the very little trace of Brandon that we have left. Were initially hesitant to start looking for Brandon because they said it wasn't weird for a 19-year-old to stay out all night, and they said that, quote, at his age he had a right to be missing. Which there's so much to unpack there. Like, his parents went to the police and said, "We were on the phone with our son, we know something is wrong, he said oh shit, we can't get a hold of him, something is wrong." So why wouldn't the police right then be like, "Okay, totally, you're completely right, let's go take this case seriously and start looking for them"? I don't understand why they don't just listen. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. So Brandon's parents were pissed, rightfully so, and it took a little bit for the cops to come around, but finally they started a search with Brandon's parents. They looked around the area with Brandon's parents that day, and they found nothing, and that's when they were like, okay, maybe something is up. So they are able to pull Brandon's phone records, and it turns out that he was actually nowhere near where he was telling his parents where he was, and investigators think that he was nowhere near where he thought he was. He thought that he was where he was telling his dad where he was. So Brandon was actually about 25 miles from where he said he was in Lind. And he was actually about halfway between his hometown of Marshall and where that last party was in Canby. His car was found near a town called Taunton, which, if you remember me bringing this up a couple minutes ago, it would make a lot more sense for him to be where his cell phone pinged rather than where he said he was in Lind, because the last party was in Canby and he was headed home, which is literally a straight shot on a highway he was familiar with, but instead of taking that highway, he took the back roads, and while he was on the back roads, he was probably like confused and thought that he was in Lind. Lind is south of Marshall by like 10 minutes, and Canby is northwest of Marshall. They are in opposite directions. He wouldn't be in Lind if he was on his way home from Canby. So my speculation here is that he was maybe a little bit more drunk than he thought he was, or maybe he was just tired, and since he was driving on the back roads that he wasn't used to, he might have gotten confused and thought that he was on his way back from Lind and thought that he was in Lind, but he was actually just lost and tired. So once they figure out that he's not where they were initially searching and where he said he was, they moved the search. Now that they had to move, they're actually like in two different counties. So there's two different police departments looking into it, and it gets kind of messy with the investigation because like we can't do anything right. No shock there. But yeah, so there are a few details missing from the case, and there are some things that just like got lost in translation and communication, but you know, the fucking American police system. It's just phenomenal.
So they get to start searching where his cell phone was pinging, and they found his car around 12:30 that afternoon. Sadly, though, the roads had been graded that morning, so any footprints or anything that could have, like, told us what direction Brandon walked in or anything was gone. Being graded just means, like, being flattened so that it's, like, smooth for the farmers and shit. Yeah, it really sucks because that took away all of the evidence of, like, where he could have walked, his footprints, his tire marks, like, everything. That really, really, like, you know, put a damper on the investigation. So they really didn't do much that first day of the search. They towed Brandon's car and they looked around, but they really didn't do much. But the next morning, May 15th, 2008, the search and dive rescue team showed up with scent dogs. They were like, we're here. We are going to try to find the things, find the person, and get it all settled. The dogs usually can fix everything, and the dogs help. So thank you, dogs. You guys, we would die without you. Oh, wait. We would be really sad without you. Anyway, the dogs actually picked up a scent, and they followed the scent for about 2 miles to the Yellow Medicine River. At one point, the dog actually, like, jumped into the river and then jumped back out of the river, and that investigators then said that this could mean that Brandon had fallen into the water. But after the water, like, after the dog had jumped in the water, the dog kept going, and it went on a gravel road, and then it ended up stopping on that road. So this trail that the dog takes fit exactly with what Brandon was telling his dad when they were on the phone. He said that he was on gravel roads for most of their conversation. He said that he kept running into fences, and there was 2 fence lines along this route that the dog took. The area was, like, super duper uneven and wooded and desolate, so that matches up with Brandon's description. Brandon was also blind in his left eye. He wore glasses, but his depth perception was, like, very off, especially in a dark, unknown area. So, like, he's really struggling here if he's walking around in this area, which, you know, he was. Also, so the average person walks between 1 and 3 miles per hour. So Brandon would be between 3/4 of a mile and 2.5 miles away from where his car was found, which is exactly on track with the dog's route. A lot of people think that Brandon's oh shit was him falling into a hole or something like that and then losing his phone and just, you know, falling and, like, maybe passing out but then losing his phone, and, or maybe his phone breaks or something like that. But the thing that really haunts me is that I have no idea the tone of the oh shit, and nobody does. And that's what everybody ponders on the internet, is, like, what did it sound like? Was it like an oh shit, or was it like oh shit, or was it like oh shit, or was it like oh shit? You know, like, I literally have no idea. I would like to know, because I think that that would help the case a lot, because we would know the tone, the mood of what exactly happened when we lost connection with Brandon. A lot of people also think that he fell into the water and that he drowned, but they did a really, really extensive search of the river multiple times, and the sheriff, like, walked it every single day. They looked through it a lot, and there was never any trace of him ever recovered. Like, nothing. They had cadaver dogs, they had bloodhounds, they had multiple different teams, and there was nothing. But the dog search kind of made people believe that Brandon had fallen into the water and then kept walking, since that's what the dog did, and the dog was following Brandon's scent. So it's also suspected that he said, oh shit, and then fell into the water and his phone lost connection, but then he just kept trying to walk where he was going, where he told his dad he would be. But this is also unlikely, because then his dad kept calling his cell phone and it would ring, which usually if a phone fell into water, it would just, like, be dead. So it would go straight to voicemail. It wouldn't work. So that just doesn't line up there. And also, I do want to say it was around 40 degrees this night, so it was pretty chilly. And then if he also were walking around in soaking wet clothes of cold water, that would be really, really, really cold and very miserable. So that's just not a good place to be at in general. And even though the dog stopped its trail kind of shortly after the water ended, that doesn't really mean that that's where the trail of Brandon's scent ended, but that means that the dog could be out of its, quote, nose time, which I think is so cute. Like, its nose only works to smell things for a little bit of time, and it's called its nose time. Ugh, what a good puppy. Thank you so much for your help, pup. I wish I knew your name. So the investigators and the profilers all tried to, like, guess which way that Brandon might have walked from his car, and they followed all of these paths, and they followed all these different routes, but they never found any single trace of him. Not an article of clothing, not his glasses, not blood, not bones, nothing. There has never been a trace of him found. And every single night, this makes me so sad, I'm going to cry, his parents leave on the porch light for him. Like, are you serious? They say just in case he decides to come home, the light's on for him. Ugh, I'm going to cry so hard right now. They have said that they don't think they're going to find him alive, but they just want to find him and know what happened, or at least have some sort of closure. They have never stopped looking for Brandon, and in July of 2009, they passed Brandon's Law, which requires cops to actually look into an investigation when a missing person is reported, like right away. So the intention is that if somebody else went missing that's like Brandon's age, who's not technically a child, they'll still be treated like a person and, you know, looked for. They changed it from just caring about missing children to also caring about missing adults in general, because a lot of times when adults go missing, it's always like the cops are literally always like, well, they're an adult, they can choose to walk away. It's like, no, we're telling you that something weird happened, that something wrong happened, and they never listen. It's like this recurring theme. I feel like I tell the cops in the world how much I hate them every episode, and I mean, if they didn't keep fucking up, I wouldn't have to. It's not really my fault. It's theirs. So maybe they should just do some introspective reflecting. But before we get into the theories of what might have happened to Brandon, let's take a quick smoke break. One of my absolute favorite things to do, and I'm sure it's yours too, is smoke and watch movies. But every single year, without fail, as Oscar season approaches, I feel like I forgot every single movie that I watched, or I haven't heard of any of the movies that are up for nominations. But I want to be able to understand the memes and read along with the tweets on Oscar night, so what am I left to do? The good news is that four of my amazingly smart and talented film-loving friends will be analyzing movies that could be winning big this year in their new podcast, Oscar Bait. They'll be breaking down the movies and giving their only partly qualified opinions. If you love to talk movies, then subscribe to Oscar Bait Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. A new episode will be out every single Friday, so go listen to it now. I love you, girlies. So a relatively new study about what might have happened to Brandon is definitely gruesome, but not necessarily evil. So remember how Brandon said that he thought he was like by a golf course? So that was actually just a fuck ton of farmland. So they really don't think that foul play is to blame because there was nothing going on in the area. Like, they don't think that there was anybody else awake in this little town. Like, he was just walking around at an empty, desolate place. Like, they didn't think that something bad happened. But if Brandon laid down somewhere, like if he was really cold, or just to get some rest and he wasn't doing very well, or he was doing fine and he just needed to lay down, maybe he laid down in some farmland on accident, and then this land might have gotten tilled while he was laying there, and that would kill him if he hadn't died from hypothermia already. But you'd think there would be some kind of remains, like clothes or like glasses or blood or anything. I did read this part on Reddit, so take it with the smallest grain of salt in the world, but apparently dogs got a smell of Brandon on a piece of equipment from like a local farm, and apparently one of the farmers in the area is very reluctant to let the police search his land. So the theory is that he maybe accidentally ran Brandon over and didn't know, and then when he found out, he didn't want to get in trouble, so he just got rid of all the evidence, and he does not want the cops to search his land, which, like, honestly is believable. I could definitely see this happening. It's really sad, it's really gruesome, it's really unfortunate, and the cops or the farmer should just come forward and do the right thing for the family. But, you know, farmers. I was going to say cops. Farmers. I mean, farmers are fine. I've come from a family of farmers. Anyway, another weird part of this investigation is that in 2010, Brandon was added to the VICAP alert system as a missing person. VICAP is the FBI's Violent Criminal Apprehension Program. And so here's the little definition. Let me read it to you. VICAP, the Violent Criminal Apprehension Program, is a unit of the United States Federal Bureau of Investigation responsible for the analysis of serial violent and sexual crimes organizationally situated within the Critical Incident Response Group's National Center for the Analysis of Violent Crime. So people were really confused as to why Brandon's case was put on this list because there was no violent crime that they knew of. So people were like, Does the FBI know something that we don't know? Do the cops know something that we don't know? And maybe something violent happened that they're just not telling us about? But the police, to this day, have never released anything about it. Like, no idea. Another main theory is that Brandon was a little drunk, or there was also a pipe in his car. He was one of us. And maybe he was just a little bit crossed, and he was lost, and he was tired, and he just tucked himself away somewhere to go to bed and get some rest, and his remains have just never been found. That is a very popular theory because I feel like it's the easiest one to land on. Like, okay, he was just tired, he laid down, he got hypothermia, and he died, and we haven't found his body yet. But there's been so many extensive searches, it's unreal. Like, I just feel like if he were in that area, he would be found by now. Another theory that's kind of popular on the internet that's kind of more sinister is that Brandon, maybe while he was cutting across this farmland, the farmer that owned it came outside and like shot him for being on his land. I honestly have no idea where that came from. I think just people speculating because there's literally no evidence of it at all. But there also wouldn't be any evidence of it if it happened. So, you know, sometimes you just gotta think about these things just a little bit differently. People also think that since his scent stopped at that one point, like on the gravel road, maybe he got a ride with somebody who then did something evil and his body is elsewhere, but there's no evidence of that either. And then some people think that he got in the car with somebody and he went somewhere and he started a new life. But his family is like, hell no, Brandon would never do that. Like, he loved his life and he would never just leave us like that. Which honestly, like with the sound of it, it doesn't sound like he would be somebody who willingly disappears. I know there's some people who that does happen to, and like who choose to do that to like start their lives over, but I don't think that that is the case with Brandon. Anybody who has information that could help Brandon be found and come home, or just be found and give his family closure, please call the Lincoln County Sheriff at 507-694-1664. As always, there will be pictures from the case on the social media for the podcast at Truly High Crime, so you can check that out there. Let me know any theories that you know of or what you think happened to Brandon. I honestly had a hard time researching this one because, like I said, I look it up all the time. I know a lot about it. Every time I read about it, I just go down another rabbit hole of like, maybe this happened. And there's usually like a new somebody did like a deep dive of like, I investigated this theory and I don't think it's this or I do think it's that. And it literally just drives me insane because so many people have confirmed it being something and so many people have been like, no, it's not possible to have been that. It had to have been this. And there's literally just so much back and forth. It's unreal. It literally drives me insane. Also, you know, don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to leave a little review and a rating because it makes me really happy. I literally cry little tears of joy when I see a new one pop up and I check it and I'm like, oh my God. And they make me so happy. So please do that. And follow the podcast on social media at Truly High Crime. Make sure you come back next Monday and hang out with me. I'm not sure what we'll be covering, but I'm sure it's gonna be a great time. So I will see you then. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. And make sure you have your location shared with some of your friends. And if you ever go missing, try to keep your phone on you so that they can try to track you down. Bye.